Harper Audio presents My New American Life by Francine Prose, performed by Ellen Archer. Chapter 1. The day after Lula's lawyer called to tell her she was legal, three Albanian guys showed up in a brand new black Lexus SUV. She had been staring out her window at the drizzly afternoon and thinking that the mulberry tree on Mr. Stanley's front lawn had waited to drop its last few leaves until it knew she was watching. Obviously, this was paranoid and also egocentric, but in the journal that her immigration lawyer and her boss had suggested that she keep, she wrote, October 2005, does a leaf fall in New Jersey if no one is there to see? Don Setabello and Mr. Stanley would go nuts for a line like that. They were always telling Lula she should write a memoir about her old Albanian life and now her new one in the United States. Don even had a title, My New American Life. Lula had a better title, Stranger in a Strange Land, but she'd already seen it in the public library. Maybe she could still use it. Maybe no one would notice. Raindrops beaded the SUV as it trawled past the house where Lula lived and worked, taking care of Mr. Stanley's son, Zeke, a high school senior who only needed minimal caretaking. In fact, Zeke could do many things that Lula couldn't, such as drive a car. But since Mr. Stanley believed that teenagers shouldn't be left on their own, and since he went off to Wall Street at dawn and didn't return until late, he had hired Lula to make sure that Zeke ate and slept and did his homework. Mr. Stanley was very safety conscious, which Lula found very admirable, but also dangerously American. No Albanian father would do that to his son and risk turning him gay. Lula's duties included making sure there was food in the house. Most afternoons, Zeke drove Lula to the supermarket in his vintage 1970 Oldsmobile. Considering how little they bought and how much of it was frozen, they could have shopped once a month, but they enjoyed the ritual. On the way, Zeke gave Lula driving tips, who went first at an intersection, how to speak the silent language that kept drivers from killing each other like they did constantly in Tirana. Zeke might have been explaining the principles of astrophysics, but Lula appreciated the gesture, just as Zeke liked feeling superior to Lula and better about having a nanny only 9 years older than he was. The word nanny was never mentioned. Lula explained to Zeke that in her native country, only party bigwigs were allowed to own the black deathmobiles that sped through Tirana in packs, and then the economy tanked, and no one could afford a car, so now Albanians drove their hot or second-hand Mercedes like kids who'd had their licenses for about 5 minutes. As had Zeke, who still wasn't legal to drive at night, but he'd grown up in a car culture. Driving was his birthright. Every country had problems, but when Lula saw how Americans drove, how American children drove, she couldn't help feeling cheated for not having been born here. Her dad used to borrow her uncle's car, and then he sort of stole it and smuggled it over the border from Albania into Kosovo, where both her parents were killed in a car wreck. Lula had never mentioned this sad fact to Mr. Stanley or Zeke. It would only have upset Mr. Stanley and made Zeke suspect that his driving lessons might not be enough to put Lula on the road. Mr. Stanley said Zeke could have the gas-guzzling pig Olds if he hardly ever drove it. If he had to drive at all, his dad preferred him in a tank. Zeke was so in love with the Olds that he kept it in the garage and rode the bus back and forth to school, and Mr. Stanley parked his 7-year-old Acura minivan at the end of the driveway. Officially, Zeke was only allowed to drive to the Good Earth Market, which his father liked, because it was close and had organic choices, and which Zeke also liked. It was practically the only thing he and his father agreed on, because he believed in staying small and locally owned and off the corporate grid, though his actual food tastes ran to mesquite-flavored corn chips and microwavable ramen. Zeke didn't notice the other shoppers looking down their rich, straight suburban noses at what he and Lula bought. Probably theirs was the only household in which the Albanian girl let the American teen decide. Lula had cooked vegetables many times, but Zeke refused to eat them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?